There was a period in my life, probably around 7 or 8 years ago, when I was really struggling. And in fact, I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder, and I was definitely not feeling grateful about my life. I spent a lot of time feeling very bad about what was happening, feeling very anxious and feeling sorry for myself. So a lot of my focus was on what was missing, what was lacking, what I wasn't as good at as other people, what I wanted, but I didn't yet have. So there was constantly a feeling of a gap between where my life was now and where I wanted it to be, or where I felt it should be. And I'm eternally grateful to have discovered the concept and the practice of gratitude.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today is a really special episode because we have two amazing people joining us from the UK. She first got into psychology at Oxford University, and he's a registered therapist and experienced teacher of trauma-informed yoga and meditation. And together they wrote an amazing book that I'm really happy that we will be able to talk about. And of course, it includes a chapter at least about gratitude, and we will explore that in particular. And I'm really happy to introduce to you Kate and Toby Oliver. They are brother and sister. They make an amazing team. And I'll let them introduce themselves, talk about their experience more, because I think it's best to hear that from them. Kate, if you want to start.
Oh, hi, I'm Kate, and Georgian, thank you so much for inviting us to talk with you today. It's a real pleasure to be here. As you said, I first got into psychology over 30 years ago when I studied it at Oxford University. And ever since then, I've been working as a chartered psychologist. I work with all kinds of people in all kinds of different organizations and businesses. And I absolutely love my work. And it's been an absolute pleasure to be able to bring that to more people through creating Rise and Shine with Toby, my brother. So I'll hand over to Toby to say a little bit more about who he is too.
Good morning, I'm Toby. I'm so grateful to be here, Georgian, and to everyone listening. I am a therapist and a teacher of trauma-informed yoga and meditation. And I'm also a grief counsellor. And I career differently. I started off working in the arts and the cultural sector and very much telling stories, helping people tell stories. And I realised that's what I still do. And about 20 years ago, I started to feel that I wanted to take things in a new direction and work with people one-to-one and really help individuals. And so a lot of my work is with people dealing with very difficult life situations. So people who are bereaved, people who are dealing with a life-limiting or life-changing illness, and people who are dealing with very crippling anxiety or panic. And a lot of the practices we share in the book, in Rise and Shine, I use in my practice working with clients, whether those are individuals or groups, in hospitals, in hospices, or one-to-one.
Wonderful. I think you're both doing some amazing work, and you're quite modest because you've done some amazing things. And I'm really happy that we get to have this conversation, because aside from all of your experience and being such amazing human beings, you wrote a really amazing book that's related to, I believe, the most important part of our day, the morning, and how we start the day usually is related to how the day continues on and how we live our life, basically. And I think we're not educated to think about this too much. Like, usually it's about just, okay, when we're young, when we're in school, we just need to get up and get ready to go to school. And that's it. It's not something that we're taught. Maybe we are taught some physical exercises to do, but I don't know who actually does that in the morning as a child. But it's something so important that we're not taught to do. So my first question is, how can we go from not knowing how to create a morning routine to actually creating one that works for us?
Well, it's a really great question, Georgian, and thank you for starting there and for what you said. I mean, absolutely, the way that the day begins does set the tone for everything. I think we know this through our own personal experience, and Toby and I both have our own stories of how we came to understand the power and the importance of mornings, and in doing so, transform our own lives. And what we endeavor to do with Rise and Shine is to make it easy for other people to start making some small changes in the mornings, in the way that their day begins, that really can set them up to have different experiences in the day ahead, to feel differently, to act differently, to think differently, to experience their lives differently. And I think one of the things that was most important to us in Rise and Shine was to help people to do that in a way that was easy to start doing, something that they felt was possible, was practical, and could fit within their lives. Because we know that most people already have busy, demanding, challenging lives. And so I look forward to sort of telling you more about that through the course of this conversation.
Definitely. Toby, do you want to add anything about it?
I think only to say that often when we talk to people about morning routines, if I'm working with clients, often people say, oh, I don't have a morning routine. And then when you explore with them what they do in the morning, they have a series of habits that are usually unhelpful and unconscious. And so the first step really is to say to people, you do have a morning routine, whether you know it or not. There are things you regularly, habitually do morning after morning. And it's asking them, inviting them to pause and reflect and see, is that helping you? Is that really working for you? Is that setting you up for the best day ahead? And then sometimes it's swapping things out with some more helpful things. And sometimes it's carving out a bit more space in the morning, so it isn't just that rush of busyness where you're halfway through the day before you have even stopped to think, how did I get here? And do I actually want to be where I find myself?
Yeah, definitely. And what I think it's so interesting about people, about us people, because I've done this as well. For instance, we think that we are, sluggish in the morning. Mm. And we identify with some things that are actually just things that have become a part of who we are because we have some habits. For instance, if we don't drink water in the morning, and we don't help our body rehydrate, we might feel sluggish. And we don't know that we feel sluggish because we didn't drink the water. or we might think that we are this in this way. And this is what I find fascinating, that we tend to identify ourselves with these kinds of things because we don't know any better. We don't know that, okay, the morning could be better if we just change some things, and we might become morning people if we feel that we are not morning people, if we just change some things up. Spend more time outside with fresh air in your lungs and healthier habits in your schedule by eliminating the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up after each meal. Stress-free eating is just one click away this spring. Factor's delicious meals range from calorie smart, keto, protein plus, to vegan and veggie, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Head to factormeals.com/gratitude50 and use code gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's gratitude50 at factormeals.com/gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you say, we often can't actually see that we are creating the experience that we're having until somebody or something helps us to stop and reflect and to become aware. And as you say, to realize that actually the way that we're feeling is not just the cause of our sluggishness, but actually we're creating those feelings through the things that we're doing and not doing, and that we can change that by doing some things differently. And I think that's such a powerful message. And the water example's a lovely one that you give there, Georgian. And as you know, that's one of the practices that we share. And interestingly, a lot of really experienced colleagues of mine, you know, coaches and therapists with huge amounts of experience have highlighted that as one of the practices that they found really transformative. They're very intellectually focused, and they'd forgotten to think about what was going on for them in terms of their body and the way that they were nourishing that or not first thing in the morning. And as you say, that can create all sorts of knock-on effects if we're dehydrated.
Exactly. And for me, it's just fascinating that we tend to identify with some habits, and we tend to identify with some ways of being that are actually changeable. Like, we can do things differently. And another example that you also share in the book is related to movement, to doing yoga or stretches or things of this nature. We might think that it's just that we are not flexible, that we are not, I don't know, that it's hard for us to move in the morning, or I don't know, all kinds of beliefs of this sort that are actually just things that are a reality right now because we have done things in a certain manner in the morning for so long. Maybe, Toby, you want to expand a little bit on this?
Yes, I think that's so true. And you know, our beliefs are just the thoughts that we continually think, and they build and build and build and accrue until we come to believe them as a foundational truths about us, ourselves, and our experiences. And so often it's enabling people to realize when they start to make different choices, start to allow in different beliefs or the possibility of different beliefs, or even to just be willing to embrace different beliefs, they can make such profound changes because it shifts the perspective with which they're looking at life, and they start to detach or unhook from those unhelpful thoughts, those limiting beliefs, and realize that there's far more opportunity and possibility. And if you do that at the start of the day, you're setting yourself up with that new, more helpful approach for the whole day. And our lives, after all, are made up of a collection of days. And if we can take charge of each day through each morning, we can make such profound differences to the whole of our lives. And that's really the ethos of the book, is to realize that we have far more control over our days and therefore over our lives than perhaps we've come to think and believe.
Yeah, exactly. And many of the things that we do in the morning take time, like grabbing the phone and looking over, I don't know, Facebook, Instagram, or emails, or things of this nature.
Yeah.
They still take time. And we think that we can't do something more useful with that time. But just because we just got used to doing this. And that means that we can change it. And it could bring quite different results, because if we are, maybe we woke up tired and we look at Instagram or Facebook and we see people that seem to be living a much better life than we are, of course we're going to wake up and think, oh my God, my life is so crappy and I'm not motivated to wake up. Why should I go to this job or workplace or do anything if I see that other people seem to live their life and I'm just barely waking up, you know?
Yeah. You know, and for me, I guess my route into this was not so much waking up half asleep, but waking up extremely anxious and spending, you know, I realize now that I was spending huge amounts of time in my mornings really making myself feel worse. You know, I was ruminating on things that have happened in the past or hadn't happened. I was worrying about the day ahead, but that was taking up vast amounts of time in my morning, was actually just fueling a greater sense of anxiety and dread about the day ahead, rather than doing something that would actually put me in a more positive frame of mind, a more positive state, you know, emotionally, mentally, and physically.
Yeah, we tend to do this quite a lot.
Yeah,
and it's still a habit. It's still a routine, isn't it?
Yeah, that was my habit. You know, and you know, our habits, you know, basically start to kind of become our identity, don't they? As you've said, George, and you know, and we are what we repeatedly do, and the things that we do more often come more easily to us. We know that that's how you know, the neural pathways work. As they say, neurons that fire together, wire together. So if we repeatedly do things, we repeatedly have the same thoughts, we have those habits, it's much easier for us to do those things. But the power comes when we start to notice what we're doing and to question whether it's working for us, and then to start exploring doing something different and creating some new, healthier habits.
Exactly. And I love the fact that you share in the book some simple things that really don't take a lot of time, that are really powerful. And it also reminded me of some things that I used to do, but because of different life circumstances, I just forgot and had other habits. And it's really interesting that even if we at some point had some good habits, in time, due to different situations and circumstances, that they might have changed. But it's so important for us to be aware, and like you mentioned, Toby, to be aware of the fact that we have morning routines, where even if we are not aware that we have them, we do. And we can change them. And but one of the things that you speak about in the book, and I'm sure that our listeners are thinking about, is, but how do I find the time? Like, I'm already so busy, I'm already so tired in the morning, maybe, how and when could I possibly have any kind of new things to do in the morning?
And that's a common response. And I think we've all felt that the day is too busy. And what we were really keen when we were writing Rise and Shine was to create an approach that was flexible, accessible, and workable for everyone. So it's not a rigid, fixed routine. We're not saying you have to get up, for example, at 5 a.m. and do half an hour of this, an hour of that, eat this, do that. We offer a menu of different practices so that people can then curate under the guidance and support a routine that works for them, however much or however little time they've got. And what we feel is that the important thing is to do something consistently each morning. On the days that you have more time, you can expand your morning routine if you like to. And on the days that you have less time, still do something, because as you've touched on, Jordan, it's so easy to fall out of helpful habits as it is to fall into unhelpful habits. So keeping that morning routine and to finding the time. Sometimes it's about noticing I'm spending 10, 15 minutes scrolling on my phone. That's not helping me. That's maybe making me feel stressed, or that's making me feel angry, or it's making me feel inadequate. So could I use that time to better purpose? It may be also getting up slightly earlier. And we're talking maybe 5 minutes. We know that many of these practices you can do in 5 minutes or under. And so it's just starting small with something. And a lot of the practices work together. So one of the practices we talk about is the benefits of morning sunlight, as soon as possible after waking up. So 10 to 20 minutes. So in sort of Europe, at this time of year, probably about 20 minutes, because the skies are often cloudy. And so with some of my clients who say, you know, I don't know if I have the time for that, we look at what they're doing. And it may be that there are calls that they need to make. And could they maybe make a couple of those calls outside before they go into the office, or outside on the street taking a walk, so that they feel they're using their time more productively? Ideally, you know, it'd be great to be able to use that time without work, but many of the practices can be done together. And so it's really working out how you can use the tools we offer most effectively for you and your specific life circumstances.
Spend more time outside with fresh air in your lungs and healthier habits in your schedule by eliminating the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up after each meal. Stress-free eating is just one click away this spring. Factor's delicious meals range from calorie smart, keto, protein plus, to vegan and veggie, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Head to factormeals.com/gratitude50 and use code gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's gratitude50 at factormeals.com/gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Yeah, Kate?
And I think to add to that, sometimes it's about making it easy for yourself to do those things when you first wake up. So we already talked about drinking water when you first wake up. Well, actually, really, that doesn't need to take any time, and you make it much easier for yourself if you bring a bottle or a glass of water up, have that beside your bed, ready to remind you and to drink as soon as you open your eyes. So some of the practices, you know, take really no time at all. They can really just form part of your natural rhythm of waking up and getting going. And it was really important to us that was part of the ethos of Rise and Shine. Both of us work one-to-one with people. I'm a psychologist, as you know, Toby's a therapist, and we understand that everyone's different. We also understand what the ingredients for successful habit change are. And one of those is to clear the path, make it easy for yourself. Or if you do want to do, you know, a little bit of yoga first thing in the morning, have your yoga mat out and ready. And if you want to stop scrolling on your phone, put your phone outside of your bedroom and use something else to wake you up. Make it harder for you to slip back into the old unhealthy habits. You know, if you have a habit of repeatedly putting your alarm on snooze, and one of the practices we talk about is how to use your alarm in a different way, but find a way to set your alarm that means that you have to get out of bed when it goes off so that you don't repeatedly set it on snooze. And that might buy you back 10, 20, 30 minutes in the morning to do something different with.
Yeah, I think it's so powerful, and it's something that we can do for ourselves. And many of us have the tendency to just focus on other people and help out as much as possible and do all kinds of things. But in time, many of us realize that the battery runs low, and that helpful way of being turns into something else that's not very positive. We tend to have the most positive feelings towards the people that we're helping, because we are drained and we still want to help, or they still want our help. If we don't recharge, it's really hard to be able to think about other people as well. And I'm sure many of our listeners are these kinds of people that want to be helpful. And if you want to be helpful for others, you need to recharge as well. And one of the things that I love about these habits that you talk about in the book is that some of them are so simple and it takes no time to do. And for me, at least, it builds up momentum. It's like, okay, I did this. I drank my water in the morning, did the bed. I smiled. This is already progress. This is already building up. It's like I'm confident I can do more, and I can, I don't know, do some more things for myself that are helping me. And I think this is key for our listeners thinking about changing, or maybe adding some small things into their routines. I think this is the first step, right?
Absolutely. I think it's so important that we start small and we build from there, because every time we set ourselves an intention or a goal to do something and we achieve it, we feel good about ourselves. We do get a little hit of dopamine, but it builds our sense of trust in ourselves and our confidence in ourselves. And as you say, it's an opportunity to give ourselves a little pat on the back and thank ourselves for this thing that we've done to take care of ourselves so that we can also take care of others. And so by starting small and doing these small things, as you say, it builds our confidence and it builds our sense of trust in ourselves so that we can go on and build from there.
Exactly. So let's take the five letters of the acronym SHINE and just share with us one thing. Of course, ideally, we would get into gratitude, because I know you, Kate, had a wonderful experience with gratitude. So we would get more into that as well. So I don't know, maybe start with Toby with silence and go from there.
Okay, yes. So, you know, silence is the first pillar, the first letter, the S of shine. And I think it's sort of coincidental, but also really apt that it's the first, because I think for most of us, we feel that our days are so busy and full of noise and demands and activity and distractions that it can get harder and harder to find those moments of silence, those golden moments where we can just find a bit of peace and bring our mind and our body and our spirit into some sort of sense of balance without the senses being bombarded. And so the six practices we offer in this section are about bringing intentionally that stillness, some moments of peace and reflection into your morning. And that's so important and so essential, because that allows us to sort of take control. The way I see it is that, you know, the day is like a chariot pulled by five horses, and the five horses represent the senses. And so often we find ourselves in the chariot and the horses are off and running, and we're going in a, you know, we're going in completely the wrong direction, and it feels like a really bumpy ride, and we're desperately trying to grab the reins. But creating some silence in the morning allows us to step into the chariot, feeling ready to pick up the reins and then to direct the horses into the direction we want to go in. And so there are many practices, and the one that I think often for most people makes such a difference is a simple breathing practice in the morning. And we know that the breath is the bridge between the body, the mind, and the emotions, and that when we're feeling anxious or stressed or overwhelmed, that shows up in the breath. The breath can become fast or tight or constricted. And choosing to just sit and settle and take some conscious deep breaths, breathing, you know, into the belly and the diaphragm, can make such a profound difference. And I worked with a client a few weeks ago who was having 4 to 5 panic attacks a day.
Oh my God.
And one of the things I suggested she do was to build this breathing practice into her morning, as well as a very simple relaxation process. 2 weeks later, she came back and said, "I don't know what's happened. What did you do to me? I've not had a panic attack since." And I said, "Well, what did you do?" And she said, "Oh, I've been doing my breathing and my silence relaxation every morning." And she realized that that was giving her the space to just calm those thoughts, to calm the body and prepare herself for the day and to be able to cope. So the rest of the challenges she had hadn't gone away, but she'd been able to change herself, her state going into the day, so she could meet those challenges with a sense of being able to cope with them. And I think that silence and the practice in silence allow us to set ourselves in the best possible frame of mind, and I guess frame of body and emotional frame for the day ahead.
Spend more time outside with fresh air in your lungs and healthier habits in your schedule by eliminating the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up after each meal. Stress-free eating is just one click away this spring. Factor's delicious meals range from calorie smart, keto, protein plus, to vegan and veggie, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages, to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Head to factormeals.com/gratitude50 and use code gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's gratitude50 at factormeals.com/gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So what is the next one? Happiness, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So the next pillar is happiness. And of course, we all love being happy, don't we? But sometimes we can think of happiness as something that comes as the result of external things. What we're trying to do here is to enable people to create some practices in their morning so they can start to boost their own sense of inner happiness and contentment, and to some extent sort of peace and acceptance of how things are. Because what we actually realize is it's through doing that that we start to have a sense of our life being more positive. There was a really interesting piece of research that was done with some people working within a call center. And they looked at the impact that the mood and the emotions that people were experiencing first thing in the morning actually had on the way that they experienced their work and their performance. And what they found was that those people who started their day in a more positive mood and feeling happier experienced their interactions with customers more positively, they enjoyed their work more, and they ended up the day feeling happier as a result. Whereas those people that started the day in a bad mood, not feeling great, feeling a bit down, feeling a bit grumpy, of course that affected not only the way that they perceived their experiences dealing with customers, but it also made them less pleasant, less socially connected, less positive in the way that they engage with customers. And so they then got customers being less pleasant to them. And as a result, things tended to go in a downward spiral. Interestingly, they also took more breaks and were less productive in their work as a result. And so, I mean, that's a really interesting example of some data showing the power of our emotions. And so if we can start the day by really putting ourselves in the right frame of mind and experiencing some of those more positive and joyful states, that can have huge effects on the rest of our day. And of course, one of the foundational practices, Georgian, within this section of the book is around the practice of gratitude.
Definitely. So let us know a little bit about your experience with gratitude.
Yeah, so I mean, my own experiences, I mean, this was totally transformational for me, Georgia. And as I said to you, there was a period in my life, probably around 7 or 8 years ago, when I was really struggling. And in fact, I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder, and I was definitely not feeling grateful about my life. I spent a lot of time feeling very bad about what was happening, feeling very anxious, and feeling sorry for myself. So a lot of my focus was on what was missing, what was lacking, what I wasn't as good at as other people, what I wanted, but I didn't yet have. So there was constantly a feeling of a gap between where my life was now and where I wanted it to be, or where I felt it should be. And I'm eternally grateful to have discovered the concept and the practice of gratitude. And by starting to develop a daily gratitude practice in the mornings, and then to remind myself of these things throughout the day, it started to shift my entire outlook on life. I would journal in the mornings about five things that I felt grateful for, really tuning into, you know, the small things as well as the big things that I could really appreciate at that moment in time. And it made me feel much more content, because as we know, once we, you know, and your listeners I'm sure will know, that once we start to practice gratitude and have a mindset and an outlook on life that focuses on this, we realize that actually we have everything that we need, and what we have is enough. And if we just stop to change our attention and to focus on what is already there and what we appreciate, and to really savor that, it changes the tone of our whole day. And it made me so much more content, and it made me so much easier for other people to be around. And it still is a practice that I do daily. And I'm so often talk with my coaching clients about this as well, because very often in that they are in the habit of beating themselves up and thinking about what's not good enough. And I've worked with countless people who've said, this has made such a big difference to me. It's just this simple shift to think about, yeah, what can I really savor? What can I appreciate? What do I already have? What's good about life? What's great?
Exactly. It makes such a big difference. And the wonderful thing about this practice and all of the practices that you mention in the book is that it's easy to do. It's free. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have many resources to be able to do this. Mm-hmm. And can really make a big difference without having to do or to, I don't know, to invest a lot of money into something like we're usually taught in the marketing world or on TV that, okay, you need this, I don't know, big screen TV to be happy, because just by having that big screen TV, you'll be happy, or this, I don't know, fast car or whatever. Mm. It's something quite different. So, yeah, I love that.
It's super different. And very often when I'm talking with clients, you know, I run training sessions with groups as well. I say to them, you know, these are called practices. And the only condition under which they don't work is if you don't practice them. And they are practices. So they're not something you tick off a list and you say, I did it once, it's done. They are something that you build into your daily practice. But they're magical because they have the opposite effect to some of the things that we are marketed to, or that we can fall into unhealthy habits of using to make ourselves feel better. I mean, even things like pharmaceutical drugs, where we build up a tolerance. Mm-hmm. The magical thing about these practices is it's the opposite. The more you do them, the more powerful they become. It's actually easier to reaccess a state of gratitude the more you practice gratitude. And I think that's a really wonderful thing to know and to remember.
Exactly. I don't have a problem with material things. It's just that we have this way of getting used to things. And when we have a certain thing, we just think about the next one and we compare ourselves with others. And instead of making us feel good, it might make us feel good in the moment, but then we think about all of the other things that other people might have, or that we might have want to have in the future, and it just goes away. And this is in contrast to what you just mentioned, the fact that when we have these great habits, they just build on themselves and help us become happier and more fulfilled people. And I believe that this is success, and this is what we all want, right? And this actually leads us to the next part, the next pillar, intention. Spend more time outside with fresh air in your lungs and healthier habits in your schedule by eliminating the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up after each meal. Stress-free eating is just one click away this spring. Factor's delicious meals range from calorie smart, keto, protein plus, to vegan and veggie, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages, to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Head to factormeals.com/gratitude50 and use code gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's gratitude50 at factormeals.com/gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Yes, so the next pillar is in intention, and And this is setting that clear direction for the day, because we know that every moment throughout the day, there's going to be choices. We're going to find ourselves at, you know, crossroads, at forks in the road. And if we don't have a clear intention, a clear direction of where we want to go, we can find ourselves ending the day thinking, you know, what happened? How did I get here? Why did I not manage to achieve what I wanted to achieve? So we know that from scientific research that if we spend time setting our intentions in the morning, that will give us a greater sense of clarity and purpose throughout the day, helping us to stay focused in the face of those distractions or the demands, the disruptions, and mean that we can end the day with a far greater sense of purpose, of peace of mind, of having taken effort to moving towards what we value, what's important to us. And I think the practice that I'd like to highlight in this section is the to-be list, which was a new one to me when Kate and I were writing the book. And that was one of the joys and one of the things I'm grateful for in collaborating with Kate, is that we learn things from one another. And it's so wonderful to find there are always new practices that you can benefit from. And so the to-be list is really simple. It speaks to the fact that so many of us focus on the task, that we have a to-do list. We have or sometimes it seems an endless growing list of things that we need to do during the day. But how often do we stop and think, how do I need to be as I do that task or as I face that challenge? And we get caught up in thinking we're human doings rather than human beings. And so if we can consciously choose to be aware of an approach, an attitude, a quality that would help us to achieve those goals, to meet those challenges, it can make such a difference. And so in the book, you know, we invite people to have a sense of what the day ahead has for them and what qualities would help them to make the most of that. And it might be, if it's a day of work and it's a challenging, demanding day, maybe there's a sense of needing to be energetic or determined. Maybe there's going to be challenges ahead and it's about being open-minded or flexible. It might be, if it's a weekend, that you want to be playful or restful or calm. Or there might be a range, a combination of those throughout your day. So there might be a busy morning, you're meeting a friend for lunch. So maybe you want to be focused in the morning, but actually at that lunchtime with your friend, that meetup with your friend, you want to be relaxed. You want to be calm and open, so that you can enjoy it. You don't perhaps want to bring that focus, determination. That would be suitable or helpful for work into a social, personal interaction. So it's about thinking what qualities will really help enhance the day. And I find that makes such a difference. It's like giving myself the permission to adapt to the ways of being that are going to help make my day more enjoyable and more successful.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And At times we just forget to switch. We forget to switch between work and private life, and we tend to be too serious maybe when meeting friends, or more too focused on the discussions, taking that from work, and it just takes away from the pleasure of just being playful, like you mentioned, or just being present and, feeling lighthearted instead of just being serious and dramatic
about everything that's happening. and I think we can probably all think of examples where Yeah, we've maybe treated, you know, our friends or our loved ones as though we were interrogating them in a work situation.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't go very well.
Yeah, definitely it doesn't. Yeah, so that's very powerful, because at the end of the day, we want to get some things done, and that's important from some points of view. But we actually want to have a fulfilled life, right? And a fulfilled life is actually made up of fulfilled days. And if we only think about the days that we have in terms of the things that we need to do, and not how we want to feel in those days, that's, I don't know, in some situations it's a waste of focus of our energy, because we tend to do everything that we have on the list, but that doesn't mean that we're actually fulfilled in any way that we managed to do that. So the next one is nourishment.
Yes. So nourishment is the fourth pillar. And here we're talking about the way that you would nourish your body, but also your mind and your soul as you start the day. It's really about thinking about, you know, am I giving myself the kind of sustenance that I need to be able to thrive throughout the day ahead? And in fact, Georgian, we've already touched on a number of the practices within this section. So we've talked about the importance of water and hydration in the mornings. And Toby talked earlier about getting outside into sunlight and allowing sunlight into your mornings. So I'm going to perhaps talk about one of the other practices within this section, which is to do with what we're feeding our minds first thing in the morning, and that's the practice of learning. And the opportunities that we have when we first wake up and our minds are rested after a night's sleep, and we have a certain level of openness. A new day is a new beginning, and I think that there's something there about the opportunity to put something new and stimulating into our minds. So often when I'm talking with my clients about this, I talk to them about, what's your mental diet like first thing in the morning? What are you feeding your mind with? And how can you feed it with some things that are actually going to enrich it, stimulate it, wake it up, help it to make some new connections and have a sense of growth and possibility first thing in the mornings. And here we're not talking about, you know, opening work papers and starting to do some very heavy duty reading through things that you think you should do. It's about thinking about, well, what would I find interesting and stimulating here? What would get me curious? What would just start me making some new connections within my brain, which we know is so helpful for our brain health and for, you know, enabling us to stay open-minded and curious and to continue learning in today's world, which we all need to do. And we had a fantastic role model for this growing up in our Austrian grandmother, Granny Lisi, who I think it was in her 80s, she decided to learn Italian. And she learned that up to a really advanced level. She took exams, the same sort of exams that we would do at school if we were 18 in the UK. And then she continued learning advanced Italian, going to conversation classes well into her 90s. So she was a brilliant example of, you know, someone who is a lifelong learner, but learning something for the love of it. And so that's what we're really encouraging here is, you know, find something, listen to a podcast that, you know, that gets you thinking, that opens your mind, read something that you really enjoy reading. Maybe start learning a language. And that's what I started doing a few years ago, was learning Spanish. And it reminded me of my love of languages, which I'd studied at school and not for, you know, nearly 30 years since. So, yeah, that's something to do, to think about. How do you kind of get your mind stimulated and awake and alive first thing in the morning.
Spend more time outside with fresh air in your lungs and healthier habits in your schedule by eliminating the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up after each meal. Stress-free eating is just one click away this spring. Factor's delicious meals range from calorie smart, keto, protein plus, to vegan and veggie, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Head to factormeals.com/gratitude50 and use code gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's gratitude50 at factormeals.com/gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
I love it. And one of the things I love about reading and listening to podcasts is that you're thinking new thoughts or different thoughts.
Yeah.
Or thoughts that aren't habitual.
Yeah.
You're not just regurgitating the same kind of thought patterns that you might always think that aren't always positive.
Yeah.
But you're bringing in new thoughts, new ideas, new ways of seeing things. And that's so powerful, especially in the morning. But I also wanted to talk about another part of nourishment that you talk about. And this might be basic for many people, but for others, it might not. Breakfast. And many people skip breakfast because they have to hurry, they have to do all the things that they need to do each day. But I've seen in my experience when I did that I had less resources to go about my day to do all of those things that needed to be done. And if I didn't have that part of the nourishment, I was more fearful. I felt weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I approached all of the things that I needed to do from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely, Georgian. And of course, we acknowledge that everyone is different, so this isn't a one size fits all. But certainly for many people, if you think about your body and your brain needing energy for the day ahead, and particularly actually our brains use up huge amounts of energy and glucose and they can't store it. So if we're not putting some fuel into the tank first thing in the morning, we're unlikely to have the energy that we need. But it's very interesting what you also said, Georgian, about how you felt. So one of the things I've learned to notice about myself is eating in the morning is absolutely fundamental for me and throughout the day. And I will notice that I feel very anxious, actually. If I don't eat within an hour or so of waking up, I'll start to experience what feel like symptoms of anxiety. And then I'll ask myself, why am I feeling anxious right now? And I realize it's actually not anxiety, it's hunger. Mm-hmm. And the experience of hunger triggers very similar physiological and then emotional symptoms in me, the same as hunger. And actually, if I eat, those feelings subside. And that will be the case for other people as well. So it's a very interesting point that you raised there.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same. And it's very similar in my experience as well. Like, but I didn't get to understand this. It took me quite a while to. And I just felt like this is how I am. You know, like, this is major. At least it was for me. And I hope that we can help other people with this as well. It's not who you are. It might be something that you're doing that's not ideal as a habit. Like I wasn't
I was skipping breakfast, or I had a small breakfast that wasn't giving me the kind of energy that I needed. And that made such a huge difference, just to have this small change in my habit in the morning. And I hope that for our listeners, it will be something similar. Just try it out and see how you're feeling. So the last one, the last pillar is exercise. And I'm very curious on to get back to something that I said in the beginning. Like, we tend to think that our bodies are more rigid, or are just, I don't know, that you can't do exercise in the morning for some reason. And I've discovered that if you just do it, you get to be more flexible, and you get to stretch, and to, it's just a matter of habit, and it's just a matter of doing it and of experimenting. And I want to ask Toby about this, how his experience has been with yoga, teaching yoga, and maybe you have some examples with your students.
Yes, and you know, and I think, as with the hunger, and we, you know, we've talked about water, we've talked about eating, you know, these are essential for our health, our well-being, as is movement. You know, our bodies are designed to move, and we've created a sort of a world and a lifestyle where we spend a lot of our time sitting at a desk, and often hunching over a keyboard or peering down at a screen. And, you know, we're designed to be moving a lot of the time. And one of the sayings that one of my teachers would say that I loved is motion is lotion. So it's like, actually, the more we move, the more ease we get in being able to move. That actually, it's very often people will come and say, oh, I'm too tight to do this, I can't move. Actually, the tighter, the stiffer you are, the more the need to move. Now, it's not forcing the body to move in ways that are too much for it. It's starting very, very gently, starting where you are, as with all of the practices, and working out what's right for you. And that's why within the exercise section, there's quite a wide range of practices. And sometimes people raise an eyebrow at some of the practices in there. And so, for example, if you are really, really tight in the morning, a really simple thing to do is shaking. And when I teach my yoga classes, I start with shaking. And I think the inspiration I get every day is seeing my dog, who will lie down, be really, really still. Then suddenly there's a noise, there's alert, yet springs to life, has a shake, a stretch, and then is good to go. She doesn't do any other exercise in the way we would think about it, but she knows that actually shaking to relieve the muscle tension when you've been staying in one position, you've been asleep, is so effective. So there's a simple practice we take people through in the book of just progressively shaking different parts of the body. The beauty of that is that you can shake as gently or as vigorously as feels right for you. And it helps to get the blood flow going. It helps to relieve stiffness. One of my friends who is a physio says that overnight, when we lie still, the muscles and the fascia that overlies the muscle, it sort of collects this sort of gray sort of fluff, she calls it. So a bit like, you know, the equivalent of the fluff you get on a jumper. And she says, in a shaking, gentle movement gently eases that away. And so really, shaking is a really simple thing to do. You can do it sitting, you can do it standing. So that is a form of starting to get the body moving. Another one of the exercises in the book is making your bed, which for some people, some of my clients who are maybe seriously unwell, that might be quite a physical act for them. But actually, as we touched on before, they get the benefit not only of moving the body, but of having kept a commitment to themselves, of having been able to control something, create some order at the start of their day. And then we come on to other exercises such as yoga, which is, you know, such a powerful and a beautiful practice. And it's not about, you know, I think the thing with yoga, it's not about balancing on one finger or contorting yourself into a pretzel shape. I mean, you know, we all see these images of impossibly beautiful, usually very, very young people in these amazing poses. And a lot of those people have probably trained from a young age in gymnastics or in dance. And so they're hypermobile, they're very, very flexible. And so their body is going to move in ways that the majority of people are not going to find available to them. And yoga is about connecting the body, the breath, and the sort of the emotions and the spirit. So it's creating a sense of ease within the body. So the yoga that I teach is a form called true yoga, which is very much accessible to all ages. And what I love about it is I can teach the same practice to people who are in their teens and to people who are in their 90s, and they can do it, because it's all about working with the body, finding a way to do movements and get the benefits of those movements in a way that's right for you. And when we relieve tension and dis-ease in the body, we relieve tension and dis-ease in the mind and in the emotions. And it's astonishing the connection between them, because actually we're not a mind and a body. We are a mind body. We are one system that's communicating with itself. And so if we can ease the physical part of the body, we ease the mental processes of the mind.
Exactly. Exactly. I've seen this in my experience as well. And interestingly enough, even for the practice of gratitude, it's so powerful when you do yoga or these types of exercises. It actually makes it easier for you to feel the flow of gratitude in the body. So interesting.
Yeah. And actually, you know, what that makes me think of is that one of the most familiar practices in yoga is the salutation to the sun. So the sun sequence, a series of movements that's traditionally practiced facing towards the rising sun. And it's all about showing gratitude for the light, the radiance of the sun. And I love taking people through that and actually speaking to the benefits, the recognition that without the sun, none of us would be here. You know, without the light of the sun providing, you know, energy to the plants to grow, there would be no food for us. Without the light, there'd be no doubt. So that actually it's a practice that is traditionally done in the morning, that's not only moving the body, but is actually moving the body in gratitude, in reverence to this miracle of life, to this beauty of a new day, to all the wonders that day holds. So I think with yoga, it is a gratitude practice in motion. When it's done as, I guess, what I would see as authentic yoga, rather than just a sort of a keep fit exercise. And that's I think you get so much more benefit when you move the body and you appreciate your body, the practices you're doing, and the qualities of the practices, because yoga is all about bringing appreciation for the different qualities of the world around us and the world within us.
Exactly. And what I love about the sun salutation is that you start and you stop the exercise by putting your hands in a prayer stance beside the heart.
Yes.
And it just centers you there, and it's one of the things that we've spoken about on the podcast as well, with the Japanese that do this, and in the Indian culture, but it's also the image of the podcast, like
yes. Yes,
a drawing of me with my hands there, and I believe this is important, because when we focus there in the morning and we feel gratitude from the heart, it just takes us on a totally different pathway, more beautiful and more fulfilled pathway throughout the day. Yeah.
Yes.
So we are nearing the end of our time together. It's been a real pleasure talking with you both. And I want to ask you, where can our audience get the book, get in touch with you?
The book is available from all the usual places that sell books. It's available in English, called Rise and Shine by Kate Oliver and Toby Oliver. It's also available in Romanian, called Rise and Shine. It's also been translated into Polish, and it's called Przebudzenie in Polish, and in Italian, Il Potere della Morning Routine. So anywhere that you would normally get books from, you can get a copy of the book from. I'm on Instagram. If people want to follow me, it's Kate Oliver _ Rise and Shine. And Toby.
Yeah, and I'm at Toby Yoga on most social channels.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys, and it's just lovely to see a brother and sister doing such amazing work and making such a great team for the world. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I've absolutely loved talking to you. I'm very grateful for this opportunity.
Yes, thank you, Georgia, and thank you for your beautiful podcast and what you do, sharing about the power of gratitude in our lives.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day, or maybe even their life, much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse. That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse.
That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now.